Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Father God, I just pray for us to have receptive hearts to what you've got to say to us further. Lord, that we would go out from here changed, different to how we came in. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name.
Hey guys, welcome. So we're going to be continuing our series in Acts. This week we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 6, the first 7 verses. The wind has moved my sheet. I'm just going to pray first as well. God, I thank you that you are true. I thank you that you speak to us through your word, even now. And I pray that we would just be open to you. I pray that you would speak through me, that I would stick to your word, and that we would just learn more of knowledge of how much you love us this morning. Amen. As I said, we're continuing our series in Acts, chapter 6. And last week, Andrea spoke on Acts chapter 5. And I think there's some real relevance and crossover with what Andrea was saying last week to what I've got to say this week. So I think there's some real, something that God is really speaking to us about in these particular areas, which keep your ears open for what those things are. But I'm going to just read the verses. So it's Acts 6, verse 1 to 7, and it's titled Seven Chosen to Serve. It says, Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to faith. So just as a little recap, we've been going through Acts, and a lot of what we've seen is that the Holy Spirit has come to fill the believers. The church is growing, as Andrew spoke about last week. It probably started off as probably about 100 or so people, and it's grown to among the thousands, which is amazing. There is signs and wonders that the Holy Spirit is doing through the believers, and it's just a really amazing time. People are coming to know the gospel, to know who Jesus is, and people are turning to Christ, and the church is growing. So we start chapter 6 with a pointer towards this growth. So it mentions that the disciples were increasing in number. But there's a bit of a negative end to that. It says that there was a complaint by the Hellenists that arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the Hellenists were a set of people that were Greek-speaking Jews, and the Hebrews were Hebrew-speaking. And there was, when I was reading about kind of the background to this, there was a potential cultural underlying to this issue. So it might be that the Hellenists were feeling that the Hebrews were getting treated differently, so they brought up the fact that they didn't feel that they were getting what they required at the daily distribution. And the daily distribution, it's not something that we would do as a church now, but at this point, if there was a widow in the family, there was no man in the family to bring in money and food and clothes, and so the church were there to provide for the widows and the people who couldn't provide for themselves with things like money and clothes and food. And as it mentions in the verses, the apostles got wind of this, that the Hellenists were basically cross, feeling like they were being neglected. And so they decided that they needed to act on it pretty quickly. And their decision, as it mentions later on, is that they wanted to appoint specific people, lists all their names there, doesn't it? Specific people who were to oversee the serving of the tables, which really means serving the poor. And that would be a kind of a ministry for them, that they will continue that in the church, and that would be their role. And that the apostles will continue to preach the gospel and to pray for the church. And I think there's 3 areas that we can really learn from these verses as a church. The first one is the importance of preaching the gospel as a church, the importance of hearing the gospel as believers, and the importance of praying for growth. So that's my first one. Sounded like that was three. My second one is gifting. So we believe that God gives us gifts and gives us abilities to do things in his name. One of those being to serve the poor, but actually there's a number of gifts that are spoken about in the Bible. And so I'd really love to kind of unpack that a little bit more. And the last one is the importance of working together as a church and there being unity in the church for the growth of the gospel and for God's kingdom to come on earth. So throughout Acts, the apostles are tirelessly preaching the gospel. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, people are coming to Jesus. The apostles are stepping out in faith and they're seeing signs and wonders that God is showing them, and people are seeing the miraculous power of God and they're turning to him. And it repeats twice in this passage the importance of preaching the gospel regularly. So it says in verse 2, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." So the apostles here are saying that they believe that there is real power, and we agree with this, don't we? There is real power in the gospel being spread, the gospel being preached regularly. And they rightly acknowledge that actually they shouldn't stop doing that to sort out this issue with the Hellenists. Actually, they need to continue to do that, to continue to pray for the growth of the church in order that God will move in that. And as a church, we do acknowledge that, don't we? That it's really important to preach the gospel regularly, not only to non-Christians, but actually for ourselves. And this was something that I was really challenged about when I was reading this stuff, that actually we could have been Christians for a week, for a month, for 20 years. Actually, we should never grow tired of hearing the gospel. That is actually something that it makes us who we are, doesn't it? Actually, we've been brought from death to life because of what Jesus has done. And actually, we should never grow tired of hearing that. And yes, I would say that I am guilty of that occasionally when it's a gospel Sunday or when someone is speaking about the gospel. Maybe I switch off, maybe you switch off. But actually, what we need to be doing in those times is asking God to reveal further his mercy and grace in our lives, actually what he's done for us, that now we no longer have to fear death, that we have life in Christ forever. And actually, we should be not switching off and opening our hearts to what God wants to say to us through the gospel being preached. And just a little side note here about us as a church supporting each other. So obviously, we have someone who's preaching every week. And what would be really good is if we were able to get into the habit of praying for the person who's preaching, no matter who that is. We don't know who that's going to be. It could be anyone. Actually, it doesn't matter if you know the name, because God knows. So that would be a really good thing, a really good habit to get into, wouldn't it? To pray for the person who's preaching so that they stick to the truth of the gospel. And the passage also highlights that actually the more people that turn to Christ, so the more the church grows, the more likely there is to be disgruntlement and murmuring. There's a funny words out there, I like saying it, disgruntlement. actually, the Hellenists, so the Greek-speaking Jews, were unhappy as they felt that their widows were being discriminated against. That's what it says, isn't it? And actually, this is not necessarily, as I said, something we're going to encounter. We don't have a daily distribution as a church. But actually, it is likely that we will encounter murmuring, disgruntlement, people being unhappy as our church grows. And that is something that it's not, we don't need to shy away from that. Actually, it's good to accept the reality of that could happen. And actually, we're given a kind of way to, an example of how to go about these problems when they do happen, is to actually take those issues to the leadership in order that they're resolved quickly. Because actually, it's so important for us to stay united as a church, isn't it? Particularly as we are a new church. Technically, although we've been meeting a while, but we are still classed as a church plant, aren't we? And the devil actually loves to destroy community. The devil loves to see disunity in the church. And we need to be fleeing from that with God's power in us. Actually, we need to be doing all we can to bring unity and togetherness in the church. That's so key, isn't it? And I'm just going to touch on that a little bit more later on. I did want to say that actually some of the things I'm sharing this morning, I was fairly uncomfortable with sharing because it's quite directive and it's not like me. But actually, I believe that if God is speaking to me about these things, then I need to say it. And just from my heart that this is shared with you in love. Love you all. And actually, I'm not coming from a place of condemnation. Actually, this is from a place of what God's speaking to me about, and I wanted to share that with you. So I just want to challenge us here in the respect of our role in sharing the gospel, in what we do when we hear the gospel. Do we switch off because we already know about it? Or do we listen intently and choose to ask God to reveal more of his mercy and love in our lives so that we can glorify him further? And are we praying for the growth of our church to spread through the gospel being shared? Prayer is the engine room of our church, isn't it, actually? God is sovereign and he is over all things and everything is in his power, but he loves it when his children come to him and say, God, we petition you for this, we petition you for growth, we petition you for more leaders in kids work and youth and all that stuff. He loves that. So I'd encourage you to continue to do that. And secondly, this passage mentions two giftings, I guess. So the first one being preaching, and the second one being serving of tables or serving the poor. And I'd just like to look at these gifts alongside gifting in general next. So the passage talks about what characteristics are required in order to serve the poor. So it mentions in which verse is that in here? Verse 5. They chose Stephen, who was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And it says earlier on that they were seven men of good repute. So that means of a good reputation within the community. So these guys, this is also something that really stood out to me. These guys were chosen because of who they were. And it wasn't just a throwaway position to someone who was available. Actually, the position was given thought by the apostles and they were chosen because of who they were. It was a highly valued position to serve the poor. And that's why they were given that role. And initially when I was reading these verses, it did come across to me, and it may have done to you, that actually there's some kind of hierarchy between preaching the gospel and praying and serving the poor, as if preaching the gospel is higher than serving the poor. But actually, I don't think that's what is the case here. I don't think that's true. Actually, the apostles were focusing on their main role, which was to preach the gospel, and then they were choosing these guys of good repute to serve the poor in that. And that's something that we agree with, that actually a church works really well when there is good preaching going on and we are serving our community, and that is on the same level. There is no hierarchy, nothing is, no gifting is better than the other. And I'm going to touch again on that a little bit more further on. So I just want to encourage you in this section as well that actually every single one of us has a gift or a number of gifts given from God for us to use for his glory. And God has made us in the way that we are made for a specific purpose. He's given us those gifts so that we can use them in our lives. And actually, maybe right now you're thinking, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what God wants me to do in my life. Not really sure. That is absolutely okay. It is so good for us to desire to know what gifts God has given us, and also not necessarily to think about gifts in a way that's like, I'm just waiting, I'm just sitting and allowing God to do the big reveal where he writes in the sky what I'm supposed to do with my life. Actually, sometimes that does happen for people, and people have amazing moments where the Spirit reveals to them what their mission is and what they're going to do with their life. But actually, it's not about that for everyone. Most people, I would say, don't have that. They push doors. So they say, where's the need? Where's the need in my community? Where's the need in my workplace? Where's the need in my church? And I'm going to choose to serve God in whatever way I can, however big or small that might be. And I mentioned the word serving. So gifting is really all about serving, using your gifts to serve God. And it's not necessarily about special calling, as I've said. All types of serving and all types of using our gifts is a way of showing gospel work, showing how much we love God and that we want to serve him in all aspects of our life. So whether you're serving on creche, whether you're washing up for your family, filling the dishwasher, cleaning, taking your kids out on trips into groups, actually all of that is gospel work. All of that is serving God in our lives. And we want to be a church who is willing to serve, and not to be people who say, my gifting is prophecy, so I'm not going to get involved with filling the urns on a Sunday, because I only do this. Actually, we want to be people who are willing to serve in all aspects. It's not about burning ourselves out, that's not what I'm saying. It's about seeing the need, and if God's speaking to us about working in that, then choosing to get involved. And God really wants you to use your gifts where you are right now. He wants you to use them in faith that he will come through. So there might be a time in your life where you feel actually God's put this on your heart, but you don't feel ready. Actually, God is with you. He's your strength. He is your foundation. And you can choose to step out in that, and he will be there for you. He will give you the tools that you need to do that. And the Bible describes various gifts, including encouragement, hospitality, wisdom, faith. And it speaks about some of these in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 8. I'm just going to fly over these verses. It says, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, etc., etc." And actually, those verses show that we're all made differently on purpose. We're all given different gifts on purpose, because actually, God's church wouldn't work if we were all the same. Dread to think what this church would be like if we were all like me. Oh my gosh. or if we were all like one other person. Actually, we all contribute because we are all different, and God's made us that way on purpose. And it says later on in those verses from verse 12, that we are one body with many members. And on verse 14 it says, "For the body does not consist of one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body." So again, that's about not looking at others and comparing ourselves, not saying, "Oh, you've got this and I can't do that, so I'm just going to hide." Actually, God's given you a gift. No matter whether you think that about yourself or not, that is truth. He's given you the ability to do things in his name. And everyone has something to contribute in that, don't they? So are you stepping out in your gifts? Are you asking God for wisdom in where to go next? Are you seeing a need and praying into that and saying, "God, where do you want me to serve in that?" And I just wanted to kind of touch on something that also stood out to me in these verses about how the Hellenists were feeling. So they were feeling left out, neglected, like they weren't part of the community. They were being forgotten about in this daily distribution. And maybe it is that you feel like that. Maybe you feel left out. Maybe you feel that you're being neglected. What I'd really encourage you to do if you do feel like that is tell somebody. That's what the Hellenists did, didn't they, in these verses. They went straight to the leadership and they said, "We feel like we're being neglected. Please, can you do something about it?" And there is a difference in these verses here about choosing to grumble about something, choosing to maybe chat to a friend or gossip about it, or bringing the issue to the leadership as soon as it becomes apparent to you. Talking to leaders about it is helpful, isn't it? But actually grumbling between ourselves is not helpful. And there is a difference between having a prayer partner and someone that you work stuff through with and a gossip buddy who you talk to and grumble and murmur to. And we need to be the former, don't we? We need to be wanting unity in the church and praying together about issues and bringing them to leadership, but choosing to let go of them as well. And no one should feel left out in God's family. No one should feel like they are on their own or that they don't fit in, because actually, as I've said, God's made us the way that we are on purpose. He has put us in this community together because it's all about variety and difference, which actually is an amazing representation of God's character. So we are made in the image of God, aren't we? And the fact that we are all different and have different gifts to give is a representation of who our Maker is. So we would love you to feel included in our community, and actually, if you feel like that, please speak to someone, or even kind of step out of the boat yourself and invite people round, go for coffee with people, send people a message, see how they're getting on in the week, any of that stuff. We want a real culture of inclusivity in this church, and no matter what, who you are or what your giftings are, that's what we want for you. So are you stepping out into your gifts? Are you looking for a need and asking God as to whether it's you that should be stepping out and filling that? Don't hesitate on that, because as we've spoken about before, God is faithful, he's trustworthy, and he wants to see you flourish for his glory. Lastly, I just wanted to look at the importance of working together as a church. So in these verses here, there was two distinct roles that I've spoken about. So the apostles in their roles and the seven chosen to serve in their roles. And as I've said, there's not a difference and not a hierarchy in those roles. Actually, no role is better than the other. And it's important that despite our difference in roles, despite our difference in who we are, that we choose to work together for our main purpose, which is the spread of the gospel, isn't it? And it says in verse 7, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to faith. So this growth in the church was actually after there was a decision to appoint some people to a specific role in serving the poor, and the apostles continued to preach the gospel and pray. So that shows that when we are working together as a church in our different roles, gospel growth happens. God moves in that. And equally, on the other side of that, if people see disunity in a church, that's a bit of a turn-off, isn't it? That's a bit of a turn-off. If we're not kind of working together and loving one another, people see that. And I'm not saying that God, again, is not sovereign and works through that, because he does, but actually it's really good for us to be united as a church and work together in our roles. And it says in 1 Corinthians verse 12 again, verse 24, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. And that's so what we want, isn't it? Let's be a church that is known for our love for one another, that we push each other forward, that we encourage each other in our gifting, and kind of move things forward in the growth of the church. And Jesus says in John 13, verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So when people see how we behave towards each other, this will point them to the one who loves them so much more than we ever could, won't it? When they see the love that we have for one another in our community, it will point them to Jesus. And I'm not downplaying the fact that there's a requirement to deal with any issues as they arise in the church when I'm saying this. We're not about covering things up. As it shows in this chapter, the apostle decided to deal with the issue of the neglected Hellenists quickly, to avoid further division. And actually, it's important for us that we choose not to dwell on those issues, so we choose to forgive. And sometimes that's really hard, and God helps us in this. God helps us to do that. But we choose to move on and work together towards our higher purpose, which is the growth of the church and sharing the gospel. Because we are greatly forgiven, aren't we? We are greatly forgiven for going away from God, for being in a dark place, being sinful people. Actually, he's forgiven us amazingly for what we've done. So let's not bind ourselves up in that bondage that is unforgiveness, and ask God to work in that if he's highlighting anything to you now. So the reality here was actually that the church, as I said at the beginning, was a small church and had grown really quickly in a very short space of time because of the spread of the gospel. And I guess practically this was an administrative difficulty for the church, wasn't it? So they'd gone from providing for 100 people to then providing for thousands of people. And imagine that if next week we had 1,000 people, how good would that be? 1,000 people come into this church. We'd be struggling a bit with tea and coffee, wouldn't we? And we'd maybe be struggling a little bit with the chairs, than if there's any extras around. And actually the reality here was that the church in this time had to have grace for their leaders. They had to have grace for the people in those positions of managing the administration of the church. And that's what we want to have as well, isn't it? We want to have grace for our leaders. We want to have grace for one another in situations, because this is an example of that, isn't it, where the church had grown and they were trying to keep up with that, basically. And in verse 6, after the seven were appointed, it says, "These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them." So something that really stood out to me here was that straight away, once they'd put these guys into this position of serving the poor, they got behind them in encouragement, in praying, in laying hands on them. And actually, that's so key as a church community, that we pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in all that we're doing, in our gifts, in our calling, in our serving, in the mundane, that we lift one another up to God, that we're praying that God would be with them. And that's a real example to us, isn't it? And I think this is another link to what Andrew was saying last week, and it's something that I've been thinking a lot about recently, which is the gift of encouragement, which I think is not necessarily something that we, when we do a little hierarchy in our head of gifting, it's maybe not up there. It's no such thing as a hierarchy, is there? But actually, sometimes we do that, that encouragement is kind of a little throwaway gift. But I believe that it's such a powerful tool. Encouragement is such a powerful tool and can sometimes be neglected. And encouragement is actually the opposite of grumbling, of murmuring. If we choose to encourage over grumbling or murmuring, then that is something that builds one another up in our community. And I just wanted to kind of give a little personal note in that, I guess, that actually I would not be stood here without a wobbly voice being able to speak to you guys if it wasn't for the encouragement of a number of people in this church, previous churches that I've been to, my parents, my friends. So actually that's a bit of a testament, isn't it, really, to what God can do in our lives. Actually, I don't have the strength to do this on my own. I don't have the gifts to do this on my own, but actually trusting in him and listening to the encouragement of good friends and my family is really powerful. And it says in Philippians 4 verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." So we know that to be true, that actually all things are possible in God's strength, and we choose to believe that, don't we? So whatever encouragement might look like for you in your life, it has the power to build people up, and it can be such a small thing, like a thank you. Just thank you for filling the urns, Hannah. Thank you for doing kids work, guys. Or you can choose to do it another way, but giving small gifts, writing a letter to someone, something like that. It is so powerful. And I remember specific things that people have said to me in the past that still kind of encourage me now, which is fantastic. So that's really what we want for each other, isn't it? To be a church that encourages one another in our gifts and in our serving. So I'd encourage you to get thinking about how you might encourage others today. So I think there's a few things that it'd be really good for us to respond to this morning in what's been shared in these verses. Particularly around the fact that when Stephen and his friends were appointed to those positions, they were prayed for, that the Holy Spirit would empower them in those roles, that they encouraged them and put them in those positions and said, "We're sending you out." And I think that would be something that would be really good for us to do as a church community this morning, that actually we pray for one another in our serving, in our gifts, and actually that we can pray for God to speak into that as well. Actually, God may highlight something to you that you think, "Oh, I never thought that I would want to or be able to step out in that, in the way that I can serve in that way." But actually, God, you've made that clear to me this morning. So there's two things that, two areas that I'd love us to pray for with one another. The first one is that I'd really love some people to get around the leaders. So Ben and Julian, and Matt's not around, but pray for him as well. It is tough leading a church. It is really tricky. And actually, what we'd really love is to pray for you guys to stick to the truth of the gospel, to be praying consistently for the growth of our church and for wisdom in your guys' roles. We really appreciate all that you do for us, and it's just so good, isn't it, to bring all that to God and say, we want your help, God. And secondly, this is for everyone, for people who are maybe called to have a gift of serving, so serving others, which is what this section was about, but also just about gifts in general. So maybe you want to have some time praying with someone about where to go next. Maybe God revealed to you in your life a number of years ago about he had this gift for you, and you've not necessarily seen that come to fruition. Actually, we can put that at God's feet and say, God, do with me what you want to do in that area. And prayer for where we can serve, because actually there's always stuff that we can be doing, isn't there? Serving God's kingdom. So I'm just going to ask Matt to come and play some music behind us, and I'd encourage us to just get together and pray for those things. So some guys would kind of head round Ben and Julian, and then just stand together with one another, encourage, pray for new gifts, pray for a refreshing of gifts that have maybe you've been revealed to you in the past, but you're not sure where things are at with that, and where you can serve.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.